great, Steve. You found all the notes. It's awesome. Our scripture this morning is found in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, 'Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him.' Now when he had come up and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until daybreak, he departed." And for those who can, let's kneel in prayer. Father in heaven, first ask for forgiveness individually and communally that we might approach you. And Father, I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son that makes that forgiveness possible. Father, I pray for our congregation and the stresses and hardships that are still plaguing this valley. And I pray for this country as it goes through upheaval and decisions. And Father, I pray that we continue to have faith that you are in control no matter what. Father, I pray for Robin that he bring us our message that you've placed in him. We, through that message, see you, and that we draw closer to you and recognize that our faith is strong in you, and that you will complete your work in us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the Sabbath, and we're going to talk about it again today. But this will be the end of it for now, but it's a very important topic. It's something very, very important to each one of us and to this time in history. We call it the Great Controversy. It's a battle that's been going on for thousands of years over the throne of God. Who is going to sit on that throne? God is there, but Lucifer would like to take him off and place himself on the throne of God. Of course, that's not going to happen. Never will. But Satan still tries to build up his empire here on this world. When we want to know something that is true, we need to go to the Bible. We need a clear, "Thus saith the Lord," or "It is written," for things that we believe. Ultimately, truth isn't found in books or in movies or in sermons. It's found in the Word of God. The Bible tells us about Pilate. He was a Roman governor who condemned Jesus to die. And he asked Jesus a very important question, possibly the most important question in the world. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause was I born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." The truth about what? It was the truth about God. Jesus came to reveal the character of God to the world. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" And that is possibly the most important question that anybody has ever asked. The world says there's no such thing as absolute truth. But Satan is trying to deceive us. He's trying to distract us from God and from what is truth. So, how can you and I know what is truth? Well, God actually makes that pretty easy. The Bible gives us three standards of truth. The first great standard of truth comes from the mouth of Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the Bible says that Jesus is the truth. So if something is true, you should be able to back it up by Jesus, the ultimate source of truth. The second standard, Jesus tells us in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So God's word is truth. So if something is true, we should be able to back it up by the word of God. And that's why the devil hates the Bible so very much, because he's a liar. And the Bible tells us the truth about him and about his lies. He's always raising doubts about God. Did God really say that? Are you sure? Will you really die if you eat from that tree? Ah, come on, you can't take things too seriously. Everybody has a different opinion, and you can never know what's really right. The book of Psalms gives us the third one. "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." God's moral law is the truth. And the reason is because it's a reflection of God's character. It tells us what God is actually like, and God never changes. So there you have it, the three biblical standards of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, the Word of God is the truth, and the law of God is the truth. In the Bible, we see that God took the seventh day at creation and established it as a permanent memorial. And he did three things with that day. First of all, he rested on it. Secondly, he blessed it. And third, he sanctified it or set it apart for holy use. And nowhere in the Bible do we find any place where God changed his mind about that. But just to be sure, let's take those three standards we just talked about and let's look in the Bible and see what they say about the Sabbath. So the first one, of course, is Jesus Christ. So do we find a Sabbath in the life and teachings of Jesus? First of all, we have to remember that Jesus is the Creator. If you don't believe that, look in John chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, all of them tell us that Jesus was the Creator, that he made us. So, let's take a look, Luke chapter 4. Oops, I went too far, sorry. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So it was his custom. He kept the Sabbath. He regularly went to the sanctuary, the synagogue, to worship. So we know that he kept the Sabbath. And in Matthew 24, it tells us that Jesus, looking into the future, saw that 40 years later, when Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, that they would still be keeping the Sabbath. Matthew 24:20, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. The children of Israel, when they came back from the Babylonian captivity, some of them were pretty worried that they would fall back into the same pattern that they had had before that had brought on the captivity. And so some of them, Pharisees being among them, decided that they were going to make laws to help them keep the Sabbath day holy. They made over 600 rules on how to keep the law, and many of those dealt with the Sabbath. I'll give you a couple of quick examples of how fanatical they got to be. You couldn't spit on the Sabbath. You could spit any other day of the week, but you couldn't spit on the Sabbath. And the reason was because if you spit and it happened to land on a blade of grass, that would be irrigating. And that was farm labor. And so you would be breaking the Sabbath. Another example with eggs. You had to be careful what egg you ate on the Sabbath. Because if you ate an egg on the Sabbath that was laid by a chicken whose primary job was laying eggs, and it laid that egg on the Sabbath, then it was breaking the Sabbath because it was working. But you could eat an egg from a chicken that was being raised for meat, because that chicken's main job wasn't laying eggs, so therefore it didn't break the Sabbath. Crazy. They had all these fanatical ideas. But anyway, the bottom line is, yes, Jesus kept the Sabbath. It was a part of his life. And we also discovered that Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew 12:8 says, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So number one is true. Jesus kept the Sabbath. So let's go to the Word of God. The Sabbath was there in the Garden of Eden, even before man sinned. In Genesis 2, God rested on the Sabbath day. He blessed it and sanctified it. The Sabbath was in existence before God wrote down those Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai and gave them to Moses. That happens in Exodus chapter 20. But if we look before that, Exodus chapter 16, the children of Israel already know about the Sabbath. 6 days you shall gather it, talking about the manna. But on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. The Sabbath appears in the heart of the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was there in the life of Jesus, and he even predicted that 40 years in the future, it would still be kept. We saw that the New Testament church went on keeping the Sabbath. You find all through the book of Acts, there's no mention of any change. And then throughout eternity, we're going to keep the Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 66 says, "From one Sabbath to the next shall all flesh come and worship me." Standard number three, the law of God. There it is, right in the heart of the Ten Commandments. The first four tell us our duty to God. The last six, how we're supposed to treat other people. And in those first four, in our duty to God, right in the middle of it, we find the Sabbath commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So there it is. All three check out. In the life of Jesus, we see the Sabbath. In the Word of God, we see the Sabbath. And in the law of God, we see the Sabbath. But most people in the world are convinced that somewhere in the Bible, it says that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday, the first day of the week. And there are 8 passages in the New Testament that talk about the first day of the week. And so just to be sure that it doesn't say that the Sabbath was changed, we're going to take a look at those 8 texts. The first one comes from John chapter 20. And it's right after Jesus was crucified. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that's the resurrection day, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." So is this a worship service? It's the first day of the week. They were gathered together. Was it a worship service? Well, the text says that they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Got to remember, this is Sunday. Jesus was crucified on Friday. He's rested on Sabbath. This is Sunday. They don't actually even know that he's alive. They're scared. They're gathering together because they're afraid that mob that crucified Jesus is going to come back and get them and nail them to crosses. So, does this text say anything about the first day of the week being the Sabbath? No, it doesn't. The second text comes from 1 Corinthians. It's Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do so also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So, sounds like they took up an offering on the first day of the week. Are they in church? Has the Sabbath been changed? Well, it doesn't actually say that. What was actually happening was there was a famine going on in Jerusalem. And the people were in need of help. And so Paul is telling them to lay something aside for this famine relief. And that he's going to come and pick it up. And he doesn't want to have to run around all over the place looking for the money. These people aren't even in church. They're at work or they're at home. In fact, many translations of the Bible say that they were to lay something aside privately or to lay something aside at home. It doesn't say anything about bringing the money to church. This is something that people did when they went back to work on the first day of the week. Paul is trying to teach them a principle to put God first. When you start your business, that's the time to set something aside for the Lord. Is there anything in there that says anything about abolishing the Sabbath or changing it to the first day of the week? No. The third one, Acts 20. This is the one we had as our scripture reading today. "Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room, and they were gathered together. And in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, and he was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued to speak, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, and said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." This is an incredible story. It's fantastic. Eutychus is raised from the dead. Now, when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. So, doesn't that prove that they had a church service on the first day of the week, and therefore the Sabbath had been changed? They broke bread. Wasn't that the communion service? Well, if you read Acts chapter 2, it says that the disciples broke bread every single day. And so, even if it was a communion service, that doesn't prove that it was on Sunday. And, of course, did this text mention anything about changing the Sabbath? No, it doesn't. When you're reading the Bible, you have to be careful that you read actually what the text says, that you don't put something in there that isn't there. So let's look at the facts. The Bible says that Paul preached until midnight, and then Eutychus was brought back to life, and he continued preaching until daybreak. Now, some people will tell you because it mentions the first day of the week that Paul started preaching on Sunday afternoon and that he kept preaching until Monday morning. But that's modern thinking. See, our days are from midnight to midnight. We have to go and understand what the people in Bible times, what the Jews, how they looked at the day. For them, it was from evening to the next evening. Their day started at sunset. And that's why in Genesis chapter 1 it says the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. The day finished when the sun went down. The next day starts at sundown. So in Paul's day, the first day of the week, this would be Saturday night. So when the sun sets tonight, that's when Sunday starts. Now, some Bibles, the New English Bible is one of them, actually says this. Acts 20, verse 7. On the Saturday night, in our assembly for the breaking of bread, Paul, who was about to leave the next day, addressed them and went on speaking until midnight. So even commentators and people who translate the Bible recognize that this is a situation. So once you understand that, then the whole story makes a lot of sense. And you realize that this has nothing at all to do with changing the Sabbath. Paul preaches until midnight. Eutychus falls asleep and dies. He's raised back to life. Paul preaches until the sun comes up in the morning, and this is Sunday morning. And it tells us that Paul then went on a little walk. He hiked 20 miles to catch a ship. Now, if this was really the Sabbath, that would be a pretty lousy way to keep the Sabbath, take a little hike of 20 miles. So this has nothing to do with worship. It was a farewell meeting for Paul, and it didn't indicate that the Sabbath has ever been changed. Text number 4, Luke 23. When they returned and prayed and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. You notice that, they rested on the Sabbath. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. So is there anything in this talking about a change in the Sabbath? No, it actually says they kept the Sabbath. And Sunday, they're just coming to the tomb to embalm Jesus. Text number 5, Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they came and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Anything there? No. No, it just says that they came to the tomb on the first day of the week. There's no mention of the Sabbath. Number six. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Anything there? No. Just says he talked with Mary on the first day of the week. Number seven. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Anything there? No, it's the same story. They just came to the tomb. And number eight, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and that other Mary came to see the tomb. Anything there? No. And that's it. That's every mention of the first day of the week in the New Testament. And there's not a single one of them that indicates that the Sabbath was changed. So, maybe the Sabbath wasn't changed. Maybe it was done away with. Aren't there some texts in the Bible that say that the Sabbath was abolished? Well, no, there aren't. But there are a couple of texts that confuse people and make some people think that that's what happened. So let's take a look at a couple of them. Let's take a look at Colossians 2. Verses 16 and 17. So let none of you judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Well, first of all, is there anything in there about the Sabbath? No, there is not. It's talking about Sabbaths, plural. So let's take a close look at this. You see the words that are highlighted there. Food and drink, festival, new moon, Sabbaths, and shadow. What Paul is saying is very important. Paul is talking about Sabbath days, plural, not singular. And the reason he's doing that is because there was more than one kind of Sabbath in the Jewish system. The word Sabbath really just means rest. That's all it means. It just means rest. And the seventh day Sabbath that God established at creation, of course, he rested on that day. And then he tells us that we're supposed to rest on that day. But there were other holidays, festivals, and special days in the Jewish calendar that were also called Sabbaths. The seventh-day Sabbath comes every week. These other Sabbaths came once a year. They were yearly Sabbaths. It was like Christmas or an anniversary or your birthday. It came around once a year. It was things like the Passover, Pentecost, the Day of Atonement. Those were all Sabbaths. They were feasts. They were all pointed forward to Jesus. They were shadows of things that were supposed to come to pass. Let's look what the Bible says about the Day of Atonement. It, that is the Day of Atonement, shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. So the Bible tells us that these were called Sabbaths. They were special. They came once a year, but they weren't the seventh day Sabbath. But they were a Sabbath because you took the day off. You rested. These annual Sabbaths were part of the ceremonial law, and they involved all kinds of special rituals and sacrifices. Look at Leviticus. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on its day. These were special Sabbaths. They involved all kinds of rituals. They were part of the ceremonial law. They all pointed to the cross. They were a shadow of things that were going to happen in the future. The book of Hebrews tells us that once Jesus came, these shadows weren't needed anymore. The book of Hebrews tells us exactly what law was a shadow. Not the moral law, the ceremonial law. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not of the very image of things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. So which law is it talking about? It's not the moral law, it's the ceremonial law. These sacrifices were a shadow. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation. And we have to remember that. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 2 one more time. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. So what law is Paul talking about? It's the ceremonial law. It pointed forward to the cross. And it didn't go any further than the cross. It was not necessary after Jesus had come and given his life. Now we know that law is gone. And that's what he's talking about. There's one more text in Romans chapter 14. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. So, is this telling us that Sabbath is optional? You can keep it if you want to, or you don't have to if you don't want to? Well, first of all, is there any mention in here about the Sabbath? It's not mentioned specifically at all. You have to assume that. And that's dangerous when you start to assume things in Bible texts. Now, we also need to read the whole thing. So frequently people take sections of the Bible and just take that little bit and build some type of a belief on that. So let's finish the verse. We haven't even finished verse 6. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. Now, Paul's talking about eating. And, of course, there's nothing in the fourth commandment about food. What were the big issues in the New Testament? If you read it very carefully, you will find that the biggest issues that the early church had all had to do with rituals and ceremonies. They had to do with things like circumcision, feast days, fast days, ceremonial washing of your hands, food that was offered to idols. Those were the big issues that they were talking about. The Sabbath wasn't an issue. Everybody kept the Sabbath. Let's look at Romans chapter 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Paul's talking about ceremonial things here. If you read 1 Corinthians 8, you'll find that the biggest disputes of the day were over food being offered to idols. Some people said it was okay. You could eat food offered to idols because idols are just pieces of wood and stone. They're not gods. They're nothing. Others said, well, you can't do that because they actually were idols. And they were offered to these false gods, these idols. Well, the conclusion that the church came to was very simple. Do what your conscience tells you you should do. It's optional. You can eat it or you don't have to eat it. It really doesn't matter. It's not a point of eternal salvation. So, we have covered the whole New Testament, all of these texts that people use to say that the Sabbath was either transferred or it was abolished. And we've come up with nothing. So, how did the Bible change? How did the Sabbath change? How did practically the entire Christian world get it wrong? Well, biblically speaking, there's no safety in numbers. Just because the whole world is doing it doesn't make it right. For Christians, there's only safety in the Word of God. That's the only place where there's any safety. I want you to look at the Converts Catechism from the Catholic Church. They make a rather startling admission. Question: which is the Sabbath day? Answer: Saturday is the Sabbath day. Question: why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer: we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. Now that's being honest. It tells the truth. God didn't change the Sabbath day. The Christian Church did it without permission. Cardinal Gibbons agrees. You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The Scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday. And he's absolutely right. If you want to live by the Bible, then you have to worship God on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, as he tells us to. So, how did this happen? Well, Constantine stopped the persecution of the Christian church, and he actually began to favor Christianity. And so it became quite popular. And people started joining the Christian church for all the wrong reasons. And it wasn't very good for the church. The pagans who joined for political benefit wanted to keep a lot of their superstitions and their paganism because they actually preferred that. And some of their beliefs began to show up in the Christian church. And in order to keep peace, instead of dealing with these problems outright and facing them, the church started to compromise. And they started taking some of these pagan artifacts and repurposing them, letting the people keep them. For example, if you go to the city of Rome, there's this old pagan temple known as the Pantheon. There's a picture of it there. The word Pantheon means all gods. So this was a temple to all gods. But after Christianity became popular, guess what they did? They turned it into a Christian church. If you visit St. Peter's Basilica, just to the right of Bernini's canopy, you'll see this very old statue of Peter. And everybody knows it's Peter. Well, except there's a little problem with this. Historians tell us that this statue predates Christianity. In other words, it was around before Jesus was even born. So how can it be a statue of Peter? So who is it? Well, it's actually a statue of Jupiter, the Roman god. Well, you can't have a statue of Jupiter in your church, a Christian church, so they just renamed it Peter. And so now Jupiter is in the Catholic Church under the name of Peter. And if you visit the city of Rome today, you'll find thousands of things that have been repurposed. They have been taken. They were pagan things that the pagans wanted, and they had been repurposed and turned into Christian things. But there was one thing above all others that the pagans really loved, and that was the first day of the week. They loved to worship the sun. It was a day of fun. It was a day to party. It was a day to have a lot of fun. Today we still call it Sunday. So, to make a long story short, there was tension between the Christians who were keeping the Sabbath and the pseudo-Christians or the nominal Christians who were keeping Sunday. And after hundreds of years, this kind of comes to a head. By the 4th century, this is over 300 years after Jesus, you have in the city of Rome basically two groups of people. You have sincere Bible Christians who are following the Bible to the best of their ability, worshiping on Saturday, and you have these nominal, pseudo, half-hearted pagan Christians, and they're worshiping on Sunday. And these two groups coexisted until eventually Constantine passes a law to enforce the worship of the first day of the week. And this is what his law said. On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and the people residing in the cities rest, and let all the workshops be closed. So Constantine passes this law, and this happens in 321 AD. And for a period of time, more and more Christians start to fall in line because they want to be in favor with the government and with other people. It's the political thing to do. And eventually the church decides, okay, we need to make a law also. And so 43 years later, in 364 at the Council of Laodicea, this is what they said. Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on Saturday, but shall work on that day, but the Lord's day they shall especially honor. So now suddenly, Sunday is the Lord's day, and keeping Sabbath is Judaizing. And of course, this is 300 years after Jesus. It's 300 years after the New Testament was written. The historian and Catholic priest James Carroll tells us why they thought they needed this law. For centuries, Christians' celebration of Easter coincided exactly with the Passover, and their observance of the Sabbath continued to take place on Saturday. And so they needed to pass a law to stop people from keeping the Sabbath every seventh day of the week. Heinrich Holzmann tells us in his book, Canon and Tradition, the authority of the church could therefore not be bound to the authority of the scriptures, because the church changed the Sabbath into Sunday, not by command of Christ, but by its own authority. So there you have it. God didn't change the Sabbath. The Christian church did. And the Bible predicted it. In Daniel chapter 7 is a clear prediction that there would be a power in the Western Roman Empire that would intend to change times and laws. And Bible prophecy is clear. Someone was going to tamper with God's law and with God's time. We need to let that sink in. The Christian church did this. The Bible spoke of a great falling away. It spoke of a mystery of lawlessness, a disregard for the law of God. T. Enright wrote this in Workers' Bulletin. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. And any schoolboy knows that Sunday is the first day of the week. I have repeatedly offered $1,000 to anyone who will prove by their Bible alone that Sunday is the day we are bound to keep, and no one has called for the money. Well, why not? Because there is no such text. The Catholic Church says that there isn't. Catholic priests and prelates say there's no thing in the Bible that tells us that. Nobody's ever collected the money. Nobody ever will. Stephen Keenan said this, question, have you any other way of proving that the church has power to institute festivals or precepts? And the answer, had she not such power, she could not have done that which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week, a change for which there is no scriptural evidence. How much scriptural evidence? None. Absolutely none. Today we started with that big question, what is truth? You don't find truth in man-made traditions. You find truth in the Word of God. And I want to find the truth. I hope that you also want to find the truth. And I know that can be a little unsettling for some people who just are discovering this. But you need to remember a promise that God made. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Today, he's offering to help you to ride on high places of the earth and experience him in ways that you never imagined possible. Right now, this whole world is tired. It's groaning. It's wearing out. Our hearts are aching for the kingdom of God. And right now, even before Jesus comes, God says that he has a little piece of heaven that you can enjoy every single week. And what's that? The Sabbath. God created you. He gave you life. And then he gave his life for you. And he offers you a personal relationship. He offers you rest. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is God still on the throne? Yes, he is. A lot of people wonder where God is. They wonder why they don't sense his presence or why they don't seem to hear from him. Today, God is offering you the most precious gift a father can give to his children, the gift of time. He has a weekly appointment, and he's asking you to meet him on that appointment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Sabbath. It's a special day. You made it at creation. You've kept it through all the thousands of years in this world's history. You've kept people observing it. You have provided us with your word that shows us without a doubt that we need to keep your Sabbath, and that we're going to do that throughout eternity. And now, Lord, we pray that you will bless us as we go from here, that we will be a blessing to those around us, that each and every day we will be an example, that they'll see Jesus reflected in us. We know you're coming soon, and we want to be ready. We want our family and friends, our neighbors, even the strangers that we see on the street, we want them all to be ready. Lord, guide us and direct us as we meet and interact with each one, that we can bless them and point them to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done in all things. Amen.